You are listening to the Technical SEO Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tech SEO Podcast. I'm Kira Davidson, your host, and today I'm joined by Sara. It's great you joining the podcast today. I can't wait to speak with you. Let's kick things off by finding a bit more about you.
Hi, so thank you for having me. So about myself, I work at Leap, a web and mobile development agency. I co-hosted a meetup called SEO Nerd Switzerland, and I'm also part of the community Women in Tech SEO, and I just feel that is one of the more inspiring community that exists in the tech world.
Couldn't agree more with you. The Women in Tech SEO community has been really useful for me personally. Like yourself, I came across you in there, and so many other people have been really helpful and lovely to work alongside with.
Yeah, for me, it was the same. I mean, I met some fantastic people in that community.
So today, the plan is to talk around myths of JavaScript myths for SEO. And as an SEO, as soon as I think, I used to think of JavaScript, it'd be like, oh my God, red light. Geez, this could be bad sort of thing. Whereas JavaScript can be okay. But we've got to set these myths straight to make sure people are aware of like this transparency around it all. So that brings us on to what is your first myth that you found relating to JavaScript?
So my first myth is that Google can index JavaScript without any problem. Okay, before I dive deeper into this myth, please let me explain something. So as I said at the beginning, I work in a development company. So for me, this myth comes from developers, because like for SEOs, we are always scared about JavaScript, as you said, and developers are not scared enough about JavaScript. So I would say that that is the main problem, and we need to find like a common ground on that. Yeah. And that is the reason why I wrote down this first myth, because of the feedback that I had like inside the development company.
Yes.
So probably, I mean, most of your auditors know how Google processes JavaScript, but let me like give a refresh so that it makes it clear for everybody. So how Google processes JavaScript, normally it will happen in three phases, okay? You will have the crawling, then you will have the rendering, and you will have the indexing phases, okay? Yeah. So when we have a website that doesn't have JavaScript, okay? So let's say a plain HTML website, okay?
Okay.
And then what will happen is that you will have a URL, for example, and then the HTML will be downloaded. Mm-hmm. Then you will check this HTML. You will find links. There will be the extraction of the links, okay?
Yeah.
And then you will have like a download of the CSS file, and everything will be sent to Caffeine, okay, for indexing. So that's mean that you will just have two phases, crawling and indexing, and that's all, okay? And that's making it so much easier. With JavaScript, especially with a website and our heavy JavaScript website, we will speak a little bit more about that in the next, the next few minutes, maybe. So the situation will be a little bit different, okay? If you ever seen a website like having JavaScript and you remove, you know, you can have like all these extensions where you can remove JavaScript, for example. And then you will see then the page is completely empty. There is nothing. And why that happened? Because the HTML of the page is empty too. There is nothing on the HTML. So that's mean that if links are so important, and then Google try it will download the HTML and then it will look for the links, but I have no links because there is nothing on that page. Okay. Yes. And then we are obliged to create, and by we, I mean Google, obviously, it's obliged to create like an extra step. And that extra step is the rendering.
Yeah.
Okay, because it needs to see the initial HTML and the final HTML in the almost, it is not exactly the same, but almost in the way that we see it. Okay.
Yes.
Because like this, it can find the links and can extract them. It can do exactly the same process in a certain sense than it would be with the crawling indexing. But like it could see in the rendering, it will find the link, it will find the entire the content of the page too. Okay?
Yes.
So that is why this rendering phase is important, because it gives you like it will give to Google a better vision. Okay, I will speak about Google just because it's like the main search engine and yes. The one then will probably render JavaScript best. So the more advanced on that.
Mm.
Okay.
And so, that makes sense, because I personally have come across websites where, you know, if you turn off JavaScript and then keep like critical areas of the site, such as the navigation, they don't work. And that causes a massive issue, because like search engine bots then can't discover all these links within the nav to then find all these pages which need indexing. It just causes a massive headache. So yes, it's great using JavaScript, but we've also got to do some testing to ensure that the page is able to be rendered and indexed, because that is critical for us as SEOs.
Exactly. So I will already switch a bit here and there as you are speaking about that. Yes. So as an SEO, you are absolutely right. We need to check, and we have some tools that support us, you know, like the Search Console or many other tools. We can at least see a little bit how it's the rendering, and is Google taking everything? We can see if there is a problem in the JavaScript part. So you are absolutely right. That is part of our job, and we need to check that.
Mm.
So coming back again to the rendering part. So as we say, and as we say now about the tools and what you were saying, that we need to check. So the rendering is delicate, okay? It's very delicate. So so many things can go wrong in the rendering part. So more resource you're having, more complicated will be the rendering part, because there is all the fetching. So it's a little bit complicated. So better if you reduce as much as possible all this part. Then there is like another problem with the rendering. It depends obviously on the size of your website, but rendering requires a lot of resource.
Yes.
And we know the resources are limited. So we will speak a little bit about that later on.
That makes sense. Yeah, that sounds really good. And I think it highlights the importance to see how your page is rendering. Like you said, it can be done in Search Console, it can be done in DevTools. You can see the little square blocks sort of like of how search engines look at it, which is, I find quite fascinating, especially when it's loading like when you've got like render blocking issues and it's like all just blank screens initially. And then like the page is loaded.
Oh yeah, that gives you an headache at that point when you're waiting and you're like, oh my God, there is nothing. Why there is nothing? Oh, okay, no, it's
good. Exactly.
So yes, I understand what you mean. So and then this might a little bit come from developers, then there is no problems. And the question is, what can we do? Because there is something that I have learned from developer. We need to give them a little bit of guidance.
Yes.
Okay. As much, I mean, I have learned so much from the developer, because each time that I have like a technical question, then I absolutely understand nothing. I will go and say, I have a question. I give them a bad headache because they will continue till I understand. So, okay. But anyway, they're fantastic. They help me, but we still need to give them a little bit of guidance too. Mm. And these are some of, we can have some solution like to help the web rendering service. So for example, if the initial HTML and the final HTML are the same or similar, that will help for sure the web rendering service. So for example, if you use server-side rendering, that will help. We will explain, we will discuss with you a little bit about it later on, but like that is something that could help. Then, you know, like we often check in the dev tool, for example, if some all the JavaScript is used, yes, no. So for example, a developer could use like tree shaking. So it's like a technique to remove code that is unused or like dead code.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know exactly as you would say it, but like remove what you don't need. So exactly. That is an option. And then most of developers nowadays will use like Webpack. And I tested myself in the past, and I really hope that I will never ever again code and use Webpack for the rest of my life. But what I've learned from that is that Webpack create bundles, okay? And so these bundles are fantastic because like bundles of code all together, but sometimes they're too big.
So which causes a problem then.
Yeah, and then became a problem. Then something that is good, it becomes a problem. So there was like, I remember like a couple of years ago, I've seen like, I don't remember her name, but it was like the head of SEO of Philip Morris International. And she said, bundle your code, but split into reasonable bundle. And I was like, oh my God, it's so much that.
And probably that,
yeah, that it is like the perfect sentence. And yes. So that's something that the sentence I take it from her. Sadly, I don't remember her name, but yes, that are some idea on how you could help also developers like give direction. Mm. For sure, there are many more. No, I don't know how is your experience with developers, but obviously they are aware of many things at the moment. And you make them aware, they will try to find solution and search. I don't know.
Exactly.
What do you think?
And I think if we can make the developer's job any bit easier, then it's definitely within our interest to do so, as it should hopefully result in fixes being implemented a bit quicker.
Exactly. I absolutely agree with you. And then there is a last part, okay? That is a little bit complicated to explain, but let's try to do it together. So so there I will ask a little bit of support. Okay, because we know then we have the web rendering service, okay? Then you have, so what you want to do often, like to have a better user experience, it will be having a caching, no? So you will cache in the header, okay? Which means that sometimes there is the risk that Google will not know that you refresh your JavaScript file, okay?
Yes.
So let me give an example, because I think then it will be much easier to understand with an example. So often, I don't know, tell me your experience, but what I've realized is that normally, like e-commerce website, like they have a lot of products, and then their products will be generated will be populated with JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now let's say then on this product you have some new stuff. I don't know which new stuff, but some new stuff. Okay, and then what you will do is developer will create a new code. But they will add it on the same JavaScript file, okay? And then you will have this new code with the same name as before. And then what? Nothing, because Google will not, as we say, will have like limited resources. So Google will not recrawl the new file and will just keep the old version because you have exactly the same name. So why should he crawl the website? So what happened is, and that is what like Google advised to use, and that is something that you can discuss with your developers, because for sure they know what I'm speaking about, is to use a content fingerprint. Mm-hmm. So you have like on your file, you will probably, you will change all the numbers that came after the file. Yeah, you will change the number and then it will be a .js. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that you can also find it in the dev tool. Okay, I will not explain it because maybe it's a little bit complicated like in a podcast, but you can also find it in the dev tool and you can check if your company is using a content fingerprint. For example, in my company, we use query parameters instead of content fingerprint. It's not the most indicated, but it looks the new worst fine. So
I guess it does the same thing as well, doesn't it? It's a way of identifying each file and making that file unique so that when a new like updated version is created, it can be like assigned a new parameter.
Exactly. Yeah, you got it perfectly. So yes, it's exactly that. So that is something that you can always do also to help a little bit the process. But again, probably discussing with developer, you will have like tons of other fantastic idea and way that you can improve your JavaScript and help the web rendering service.
I definitely think that's a good idea. Also, this popped into my mind. Do you know, let's say a JavaScript file has been updated on a particular product page. If the SEOs submitted that page, you know, in Google Search Console for indexing, would that then mean, because obviously that would then start a crawl for the page, would that then help search engines identify that their file has been updated and a new name has been given to that file?
So if you gave the new name, yes. If you keep the old one, I don't think then that will make, maybe will make the difference. But if you keep the old file name, I'm not sure then that will help. I mean, because anyway, Google cache like is not the same thing as type of caching, but it will cache already the resources. So it will have already all the list of resources that you already gave him. So so I don't know exactly how it will work in that case, because you are submitting and say, hey, do it again all. Or if you will keep like anyway, we'll not do it again all, because like a lot of resources are already cached and you see, okay, this is equal to that one. So why should I do it? So exactly. I would advise anyway to change the name. But that is a good question and we can always ask Google.
Yeah, let's just stick with changing the name just to prevent any kind of issues.
Exactly. So or you change the name or you do as I do time to time. Then I'm like, okay, let's ask to the Women in Tech community. Okay, let's ask directly to Google. So then I will tweet, sorry, I have a question. So yeah, that is an option. But yes, I would say like intuitively, I would say you need to change it to a place safe, and that's probably the best solution. But yeah,
that sounds great.
I'm not 100% sure.
No, that's fine. So another myth that you might have faced is Google has no problem with SPAs.
Yeah.
Can you just quickly explain what an SPA is, just for my benefit?
Sure. So a single page app. So that's come from the previous myth, because like if you have no problem with JavaScript, why should you have a problem with a single page app? So let's check together a little bit more of what is a single page app before diving a little bit deeper. So popular single page application framework are like Angular, React, Vue.js. I'm sure they know many more than I do. So there are tons of this single page application framework. Okay. So how a single page app works. So let's start like by make a difference, and probably is the easiest way to understand how they work. So the traditional website is a static website, okay?
Yep.
Which have like, for each page, you will have a HTML page, and then you will have a CSS and the JavaScript resource. This one for each page, okay?
Yep.
Now, when you have a single page app, what you will have is just a single HTML page, okay? For all the, they're not really pages, but let's speak about pages. It will be a little bit easier. For all the pages that you can imagine, there is just one single HTML, okay?
Yes.
The problem is that this one single HTML has no content.
Okay.
So why it doesn't have content? Because it needs to be populated for, it will be populated by, with JavaScript for each single of your pages, sort of pages.
Yes.
You shouldn't really think about pages, but probably is the best way to explain it in a visual way if you want.
Yes.
So what happened? So you have this HTML page that is almost like empty. And then you will have portion of the page that will change, okay? And that will be the update. You will not change the entire page. You will change just portion of this of the page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and an example, like the way that I finally understood it, because for me it was also, So it was at the moment, then somebody explained me, but Sarah, you use it every day. Just check Gmail. And then I was like, oh, that is it. Okay, finally I got it. So if you use Gmail, you will realize then you will have like new emails coming, okay? But then you will not have like it will not like update the entire page, okay? Mm-hmm. You will just update the portion of the emails.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And that is also how social networks work, for example. So if you use Twitter, then you can see it visually how it works also. And that is the logic of a single page app. So if you use Twitter, for example, you will have your tweets then update all the time, no?
Yes.
But not everything else.
So it's and like that the new is tweets the logic. Are loaded in and they're the change, and then the old tweets are just shifted down.
Yes, exactly. So that is the way that it works. And that okay. is like, so you have just portion of the page that are updated, okay? And to update this portion of the page, you have a method. And this method is called AJAX, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, so what will happen is that like AJAX will have like send a request to the server, and then you will get back your data, normally JSON. Yeah. Okay, to update this portion of the page. I hope that was clear how it works.
Yes.
Okay, because that was difficult to explain. Okay, we did it. Okay, so now then we have like the basic. Now it became a little bit more complicated. So the problem is this. We have a single page app, but then we know from what we saw before, then URLs are super important, no? Because all the crawling system works through the URLs. I would say all the phase of crawling, rendering, and finally indexing. I mean, if you don't have a URL, you have nothing, okay?
Exactly.
So that's mean then these are super important, but now we saw then the problem was that in the single page app, we just change a portion of the page, okay? So that's mean then we are not having a response from the server. We are not having each time a new HTML, each time a new URL. And that's make it more complicated. So luckily now single page up are a little bit more modern. Is that correct, the word modern in English?
Modern.
Modern, thank you. So are a little bit more modern. And so what happened is then you will have like your first request to the server.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will have your answer, but then you will not have any more really like in the past the contact with the server, okay? Everything will happen on your browser.
Okay.
Everything will happen just on your browser. And this is something that makes special single page app. So everything happens in the browser. So is in the browser, then you update also, you will have a lot of updates. So when you have the single page app, you have like a routing module, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they can act in two ways. So whatever I said here now, maybe you can forget it because it makes it a little bit more complicated. The only thing that you need to know is then you have like a routing model, and this routing model, what will do is to help you with the URLs, okay? To have URLs for your page,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because if not, you will not have them. If not, you will always have like, I don't know, I work at Leap, then I will just have Leap for all the page. Lead.ch right. for all the page, okay? And that will be the problem. So you have this routing module that will help you. And then you have two options. You have like hash-based routing, a history API routing, okay? Again, I will not explain it longer. The history API routing, you will speak to your developers because that is the method that is advised to use,
okay?
Instead, and it will create the URLs the way that you imagine URL should be. Instead, the hash-based routing method, what it will create is like the hash. So for example, you will have like, let's take again, my website, like the company that I work for. So leap.ch, and then let's say we want slash blog, for example,
mm-hmm.
instead of having slash blog, you will have an hash,
okay? Ah, okay,
and then blog.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I've seen these.
And that is bad. Why is bad? Because Google, that equals a fragmented URL. So the problem is then hash is a way of saying to a search engine, what come after that is not important.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. I haven't thought about that before.
So yeah, so if you saw it now, maybe they did it on purpose or maybe not, because normally, historically, I hope that I'm not saying something wrong, but historically, I think then the hash was created like to jump from one part yes. to the other one of
I've seen
the
it
page that you're on.
Yes, exactly that. That's what I've seen. They might have like, you know, at the top of a page, they might have like an executive summary, and then they might have like bullet pointed links. You click the link, it will then take you, let's say, to the bottom of the page where that content is. And that makes sense why they don't care about it having the hashtag in the URL, because it just gets ignored.
Exactly, because for that it makes sense. Instead, if you want to go to another page with a completely different content, then you don't want that.
Exactly. Okay.
I'm happy that you understood what I mean, because I was not so sure to explain it because it was looking a little bit complicated, but thank you so much. So, okay. So now let's think a little bit deeper. So now we have these URLs, okay? But now what we know, like we have some golden rules, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What we know is then to index a page, Google need unique URL. So that we said, we saw why. So, okay, so that's mean that when we generate a URL, it needs to be unique. Ensure all links have a href, okay?
Yes.
So it means then you need your HTML markup with href. Google was very vocal about that. They never hide it. They say like, you don't have an href, we don't even recognize it. So, okay, so now we know you need an href. They were like several very creative way of writing links. Now we mm-hmm. know that all these creative ways, they are no go.
Yes.
So, okay. So we know we know then we have a unique URL, we know then we need an href, so the HTML markup, we know then we need a target URL, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What we also know then when you are using a single page app, then you should use the history API and not the other method and create the fragmented. Because we know then fragmented is no. Okay? Yeah. So this is exactly what we know and how we should apply the thing. So that's mean then if we, the only thing that we need to keep in mind, if we don't see a URL like with href, and then the page that you want, and better if there is the anchor text, then it's a wrong URL. Then something is wrong in that URL. So the good URL is that one. And if it is in the final HTML, it's perfect. It just shouldn't be hidden. Everything, we also have to remember that Google don't click. So if you need to click something,
they're gonna have it.
Yeah, it will not exist. So that is important. Okay, so now we know a couple of things about how single page work. We know how we should write a link, and that is the same logic also for the for single page app and not single page app. Now, single page app, obviously, because they are single page app, they have an extra particularity, okay? So we have said then, so let's repeat it just to make sure. We have one request to the server, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else happened in the browser, okay? Yeah. So when happening in the browser, we say client-side rendering, okay? So the client-side routing, the routing was that stuff that was taking care of the URL. The routing then will take care of the URL, okay? As we said before.
Yes.
The problem is that, as we said, we have like a response code. The response code will always arrive from the server, okay? Yes. But everything is happening in the browser, and we don't have anymore the contact in a certain sense with the server. So there we have a problem, because like if we have a 404, it should be the server and then serve us a 404.
Yes.
And then we don't see the 404 for a single page app. And then there is like Google, if you check the documentation, about like a fixed JavaScript problem. I don't remember exactly what was the name of the documentation, but again, there you will find some solution to this problem. And if when you discuss with the developer, if they're using single page app, just like remind them, then they have to generate 404.
Okay.
It's important because like for us as an SEO, we need to keep control on the 404. We want to know if there is a 404.
Yes.
And then that is important. Then to complete this this part of the discussion, there was like Jamie Alberico. She is so smart, no? She always have like smart questions. And one of the questions then, there was like this video, JavaScript SEO Mythbust. And then she asked in the video, what about Ajax? How that affect crawl budget? So I don't know if you remember what we say at the beginning, but so at the beginning, like between, like to change the portion of the of the website that we want to change, we use this method. And the method that we use to change the portion is Ajax, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is like, this method is like, is the contact with the server in a certain sense. So the process of sending the request to the server and bringing back the response without reloading the page, okay? Because that is the key, not reloading the page, okay? So that's mean then we have Ajax and we are using this method, and then we still like have a lot of requests. because we have to build a complete web web page.
Mm.
So, okay, so before I give the answer on that, then I saw after after she, then I saw it on the video, obviously. Mm. Let me just like make clear for everybody what is the crawl budget, okay? Because mainly the maybe the most easy way to understand the crawl budget is how much reserve. I can do it. How much resource the server hosting the site can allocate to crawling, okay?
Yes.
So the problem is this. When you have like too many requests, you don't want like to shut down your server. So obviously Google will be also careful how your server is like, is a sane server, yes or no?
Yes.
So if it is a sane server, you will have many more request from Google. So it means then at a certain point we will have a limit also, because like he can spend like the entire night on your website because he needs to take care of the entire web, and plus there is like the problem of your server. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how Ajax affect the crawl budget? So there was this like this example in if I'm not wrong, okay, yeah, there was this example. So say you have Ajax for a product page, okay. So what you will use is like you have one request, but then you need to supplement your piece of content for the product page, okay. So instead of just having one request, you will have 9 extra requests, okay? So you think then you have one request, but then you have to supplement the entire page or the product page. And then each time is a request, another request, another request, another request. So at the end you finish to have 10 requests to supplement your page, okay?
Yes.
So, okay, so that's mean then you're using your crawl budget, but, and this can but, as Google always say, we cache aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, like that will happen just the first time. The next time they will have like already cached all the information, like.
Yes.
So they will not need each time to do the same thing. So so the next time then they will come back, they will ask for less crawl budget. Okay.
Yes.
But again, it doesn't mean then you need like to throw away your crawl budget, especially if you are like a large website. Last thing then you want to do is like throw it away, like if it is nothing.
So, exactly.
So anyway, be careful. And then like, so it was a little bit complicated, this part. And then like, what as a SEO we can do, as we said before, like, we were speaking about the testing tool for in general, and that could be applied on the single page app to like use Search Console, mobile friendly test. You can always use like the site command if you want like to check also a little bit manually how is taking the content. So you can always use that on Google and check if it's taking the entire content of your page, especially for the product page, maybe you want to check.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I don't know how much time do we still have. Like this, we decide if we go to the next meet or we switch a meet. What do you think?
As much as I'd love to go on, I think maybe we could potentially revisit this again in the future. For now, it's been great speaking with you. I personally now actually understand SPAs. I didn't realise that I've come across them in the past without even knowing it. It's been great speaking with you. I've had great fun and I've learned so much. Thank you.
For me, it was super to speak with you and it was really a pleasure. Yeah, you're an incredible host.
Thank you.